Welcome to Science Talk. I'm your host, Cynthia Safranek, and I'm very excited about today's program. I know it's one you're going to want to share with your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your best friends, all the women in your life. Because today on Science Talk, we're going to focus totally on women's health. We'll hear new research findings about the top five women's health issues today. And, more importantly, we'll talk to Shackley Health Science experts about the many things you can do right now to stay healthy and vital. Here to lead the discussion are two outstanding women who head up Shackley's Health Sciences Group, Dr. Jamie McManus, Chair of Medical Affairs and Health Sciences here at Shackley, and Pamela Riggs, Director, Medical Affairs and Health Sciences. Welcome to both of you.
Hello. Great to be here, Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. Great to be here.
Women's health issues have become quite a political football lately. I think out of all the controversy, though, one thing has become perfectly clear. We women need to be proactive and take charge of our health, and prevention is key.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Cynthia. No matter what your age or stage of life, where in the country you live, or what your current state of health is, this is 2012. And women, I want you to feel empowered to embrace all of the health and wellness information and tools available so that you can live the fullest, most vibrant life possible.
Absolutely. So let's give the women in the Shackley family some practical information that will inform the decisions they make about their health priorities. And let's start by focusing on the five leading women's health issues today and the latest research. What's number one, Dr. McManus?
Well, breast cancer is the most feared health issue for most women. But actually, far more women die of heart disease than breast cancer every year.
That's right, Dr. Jamie. The Department of Health and Human Services estimates that 1 in 2 women will die of heart disease or stroke, compared with 1 in 25 who will die of breast cancer.
We will talk about both today, but I do want women to focus on protecting their hearts, because heart attacks have significantly increased in women over the past 20 years. And even more concerning to me is the following fact. While 24% of men die within 1 year of their first heart attack, 42% of women die in the year after their first heart attack.
A big reason for that is for women under the age of 50, a first heart attack is twice as likely to be fatal as a man's.
These are all frightening statistics. So why the higher death rate for women?
Well, Cynthia, there are a number of reasons. Possibly the biggest is that women tend to defer seeking medical attention because they don't see their symptoms as serious or as heart-related. Women's symptoms are different. Things such as shortness of breath, anxiety, fatigue, and indigestion are far more likely symptoms of a heart attack in a woman, as opposed to the crushing substernal chest pain that is classic for a man having a heart attack.
In fact, according to the National Institutes for Health, fewer than 30% of women reported having chest pain or discomfort prior to their actual heart attacks. And only about 60% of women report having chest pain at all during their heart attack. Quite different than with men.
So you can understand the problem with diagnosis. When the presenting symptom is shortness of breath or anxiety, women may be given an anti-anxiety medication, and an EKG may not even be considered. The statistics tell us that women with heart disease are not worked up as aggressively as men, simply because there is a lower index of suspicion that this is a heart problem. That is changing as physicians become more aware of these differences in symptoms and presentation between men and women.
Great information. Now let's switch gears and talk about how we can prevent a heart attack. What are the lifestyle choices we women can make right now to help promote heart health?
Well, first on the list is don't smoke, and if you do, quit. The nicotine in cigarettes contributes to increased heart disease by decreasing oxygen delivered to the heart, increasing blood pressure and heart rate, and increasing blood clotting. It can also directly damage coronary arteries and other blood vessels. Now, second on the prevention list is one that's certainly important to me, eating a healthy diet, which means lots of high-fiber vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and lean sources of protein, such as fish. It also means limiting foods high in saturated fat, trans fats, and sodium.
And Pam, I just read some new research that really connects heart disease and diet in younger women. This study was reported in Hypertension, a journal of the American Heart Association, and it was the first of its size focused exclusively on women of childbearing age. This showed that young women may significantly reduce their risk of developing cardiovascular disease simply by eating more omega-3-rich fish. In fact, those who rarely or never ate fish had a 50% higher likelihood of cardiovascular problems over the 8 years as compared to the women who ate fish regularly.
So women of all ages should be trying to include omega-3-rich fish like salmon on a regular basis.
Definitely. I also want to say here that it's often hard to get all the heart-healthy nutrients we need daily in diets alone. So wise supplementation makes good sense. A comprehensive multivitamin is a great place to start. You might also consider taking omega-3 fatty acid supplements, especially if you find it difficult to eat at least 2 servings of fish per week. And if you're concerned about your cholesterol, consider adding plant sterol and stanol supplements to your daily regimen. We also recommend B vitamins for their heart health benefits, especially B6, B12, and folic acid. And because it supports energy production in the heart, coenzyme Q10 is another supplement to consider.
Well, these are all great recommendations, Pam. I also want to let everyone know that if you are taking a statin drug to reduce your cholesterol level, you can still talk to your doctor about adding a sterol-stanol supplement for additional cholesterol lowering. We also now understand that statins can block the body's production of coenzyme Q10, and so taking a coenzyme Q10 supplement may help to reduce some of the side effects that can be associated with statin usage.
Okay, so we need to supplement wisely. What are other lifestyle choices for a healthy heart?
Dr. Jamie and I have said this before, and I will say it again today. Exercise. Being physically active is one of the most important things we can do to support a healthy heart. Make time in your daily schedule to exercise at least 30 minutes. Remember, even small amounts of physical activity will help reduce heart disease risk, and the benefits increase as the amount of activity increases.
And right along with exercise is maintaining a healthy weight. Studies prove that those extra pounds definitely increase your risk of heart disease by increasing your blood pressure and by adding stress to your heart's ability to function. So I say know your body mass index or BMI. There are charts online. All you need is your height and your weight to determine your BMI. If your BMI is 25 to 29.9, then you are overweight and your risks for heart disease are increased, as well as your risks of other diseases. If your BMI is greater than 30, you are actually obese and at a very high risk for developing heart and other vascular disease.
Good reminders, Dr. Jamie. It's also incredibly important to reduce and manage the stress in your life. If you're constantly feeling stressed, that increases the secretion of 2 stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. Both can wreak havoc with your cardiovascular system. So take steps to reduce stress and learn some coping skills to deal with stress in a healthier way. Like exercise.
Also be sure to get regular medical screenings. Ask your doctor about how often you should have your blood pressure checked. What are your cholesterol and blood sugar results? Have you had a vitamin D blood test? I strongly urge everyone over the age of 50 to have an annual physical exam and appropriate lab test, including a urinalysis and a discussion of other screening tests like mammograms.
And before we move on, I just want to say that all the healthy lifestyle and dietary suggestions we've just talked about for heart disease prevention are also important to help reduce the risk of many other health conditions, too.
And on that note, let's move on and talk about some of those other health issues women face. We've said heart health is at the top of the list, but what's next?
Cancer is the number 2 cause of death, and of course, breast cancer is the leading cause of cancer deaths in women. But lung and colon cancer are not far behind. And as Pam said, all of the lifestyle choices that we've discussed earlier related to your heart will also help reduce your risk of breast cancer. But new research suggests that weight management may be even of greater importance than we thought before. According to a recent study, the likelihood of developing breast cancer is much higher in patients who are morbidly obese. The study also found that obese women tend to develop breast cancer at a younger age than other women who are not obese.
Dr. Jamie, obesity is also strongly linked to death due to breast cancer. But on the positive side, women with a healthy body weight before and after diagnosis of breast cancer are more likely to survive the disease long term. That's according to a new study presented at the Endocrine Society's annual meeting.
Well, that's good news. So to reduce the risk of breast cancer, we need to manage our weight.
Another lifestyle choice that definitely impacts breast cancer risk is alcohol consumption. A team of Harvard-affiliated researchers found that women who had the equivalent of 3 to 6 drinks a week increased their risk of breast cancer by 15% compared to women who never drank alcohol. And the greater the alcohol consumption, the higher the risk of developing breast cancer.
So women should be careful about their alcohol intake. What else, Pam?
Well, according to the National Institute of Health and the American Institute for Cancer Research, there are some specific foods and nutrients that reduce cancer risk more than others. Top on their lists are antioxidant nutrients like vitamin E, C, and selenium, most often found in, you guessed it, fruits and vegetables. Antioxidant nutrients protect cells from damage caused by free radicals. Studies show that free radical damage may actually lead to cancer.
Among other good reasons to eat plenty of fresh vegetables is that plant foods are low in calories, so they help keep your weight in line, therefore reducing your risk of many cancers that are more common in overweight to obese folks. Also, research published in the Annals of Internal Medicine suggests that 1,000 international units a day of vitamin D may help reduce your cancer risk overall.
And here's some good news for coffee drinkers. Recently published research shows that coffee drinkers may enjoy a reduced risk of cancer. The study published in the journal Breast Cancer Research shows that drinking coffee specifically reduces the risk of anti-estrogen-resistant, estrogen-receptor-negative breast cancer.
Well, that is good news for all of us who love our coffee. Okay, tell us about the women's concern, Dr. McManus, that's third on the list.
Well, number three on the list is weight management. Now, you've just heard that obesity increases your risk for both cancer and heart disease. Well, it's also a primary risk factor for type 2 diabetes as well. Being overweight can lead to what's called insulin resistance, which in turn leads to an elevated blood sugar and type 2 diabetes. Maintaining a healthy weight is the very best weapon that you have for prevention of diabetes and is actually just as important once you've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
You're right on, Dr. Jamie. Even modest weight loss can help. And prevention is key given the health consequences associated with this debilitating disease. Diabetes is a leading cause of adult blindness, kidney failure, and lower limb amputations. It doubles your risk of heart disease and affects so many important body functions, the functions of your heart, eyes, kidneys, and more.
Also, Pam, those with diabetes appear to be at a significantly increased risk of developing dementia, according to a study published in the Journal of the American Academy of Neurology.
So diabetes is a major concern for women, but managing your weight can help reduce your risks, and it also reduces the risk of heart disease and cancer. So definitely, women out there, work to manage your weight.
Exactly. Now, how about some good news? In a study from the University of California, San Diego, published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, researchers showed that frequent chocolate consumption was associated with a lower BMI, even when adjusting for calorie intake and saturated fat intake. Yes, I said it. Chocolate consumption may actually help keep you lean.
Okay, this is incredible. Coffee and chocolate. I love this science talk.
We love it when studies like these are published, don't we, Pam? However, until more research is done, it's probably best to keep the chocolate eating within moderation. So enjoy a piece of antioxidant-rich dark chocolate, but not the entire bag.
Okay, so a few words of wisdom from the doctor. Thank you for the reality check. Okay, so back to our five top health concerns for women: heart disease, cancer, weight management, and diabetes. What's number four?
I think it's important to bring up the topic of depression because the prevalence has skyrocketed in the last couple of decades. Today, women and depression is a major concern for all of us in the medical field.
Why do you think it's become more prevalent, Dr. McManus?
Well, life has become so very hectic, and we women tend to take on a lot of responsibilities, both at home and in the work world. And the economy certainly hasn't helped either, and I think women feel that they need to keep all those balls up in the air, and they need some help. And frankly, I think the idea that we can have it all has really backfired for many women who are finding that something has to give, and too often, it's our mental health.
Interesting you would say that, Dr. Jamie. I read a very recent study administered by the U.S. Department of Labor. It analyzed survey responses from 1,600 women across the United States who are all 40 years old and all married. The respondents, a mix of stay-at-home moms and working mothers, showed that working mothers who expressed a supermom attitude basically believing that work and home lives can be blended with relative ease, showed more depression symptoms than working moms who expected to forgo some aspects of their career or parenting to achieve a work-life balance. One of the key researchers noted that women are sold a story that they can do it all, but most workplaces are still designed for employees without childcare responsibilities.
Okay, ladies, no more of this superwoman business. Sanity is far more important. I like that idea a lot. But before we go further, let's get to some basics. What are the signs and symptoms of depression that we should be looking for?
That's a very good question, Cynthia. Depression is a mood disorder characterized by loss of interest or pleasure in nearly all of your activities. And it's most often accompanied by at least four additional symptoms. Number one, changes in your sleep, appetite, weight, and energy. Two, feelings of worthlessness or guilt. Three, difficulty thinking, concentrating, or making decisions. And four, potentially having recurrent thoughts of death or suicide. And women are twice as likely as men to suffer from major depression. And interestingly, married women have higher rates of depression than unmarried women.
And the consequences of depression aren't just psychological. It impacts physical health as well. In 6 years of follow-up of women in the Nurses' Health Study, researchers found that a history of depression was associated with a 29% increased risk of stroke.
There's another troubling study out there that is focused on new mothers and depression. That research showed that postnatal depression is linked to depression in the offspring. The study found that children of postnatally depressed mothers were at substantially increased risk for depression themselves later in life.
That just really confirms the importance of screening for postnatal depression and of delivering early interventions.
Absolutely. On the positive side, there's a brand new study suggesting that omega-3 fatty acids, in particular DHA, consumed during pregnancy, can curb the risk for postpartum depression symptoms. And experts are now recommending that pregnant women and infants get additional amounts of omega-3s from their diets.
Well, that's encouraging. Again, young women out there, add omega-3 to your diets now. And Pam, are there other things we can do proactively to reduce our risk of depression?
Well, we're back to healthy diet and exercise, definitely. And make sure you supplement with a good multi that includes folic acid, because folate deficiency is common among depressed people. Sleep is also key, 7 to 8 hours a night. And personally, I think setting realistic goals and expectations and keeping a sense of humor definitely help.
And staying connected. Friends and family can be your best support system. Also working you time into your schedule. That's time for you to relax and maybe even discover your creative side. Too much of our time is spent focused on being productive and caring for everyone else, as opposed to taking care of ourselves.
And you know how we talked about coffee earlier? Well, good news again. A new study led by the Harvard School of Public Health found that among women, drinking coffee may reduce the risk of depression. The researchers found the risk of depression to be 20% lower among women who drank 4 or more cups of caffeinated coffee than those who drank little or none.
That's excellent news. Okay, so now we're at number 5 of the 5 top women's health concerns.
That would be osteoporosis. Osteoporosis gradually and almost imperceptibly can rob victims of their mineral reserves, causing their bones to become more porous, which can then lead to fractures, deformity, and disability.
According to the National Institute of Health, more than 10 million Americans have osteoporosis, and 80% of them are women. The disease causes 1.5 million fractures a year, and treatment costs are a staggering $13 billion, more than asthma or breast cancer. And 20% of women with osteoporosis-related hip fractures die within a year.
Many think of osteoporosis as only a concern for older women, but more and more we are seeing osteoporosis creeping into younger years. In fact, a study at the University of Arkansas shows that 2% of college-age women already have osteoporosis, and 15% have sustained significant losses in bone density and may well be on their way to developing osteoporosis.
Well, that's pretty shocking. Why are younger women getting osteoporosis?
Well, Cynthia, there are many possible reasons, probably too many to go into in detail, but let's just go over a few. Disordered eating and actual eating disorders are probably the most common reasons for lower bone density in young women. Also, very athletic and thin girls can impact their bone density by having too low of a body fat, which can affect their hormones and their bone density. And then just a poor diet, not eating enough calcium, not getting enough exercise, smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, and possibly having low levels of vitamin D are all potential reasons for impacting bone density.
And while you're right, Dr. Jamie, the disease is skewing younger, still its greatest impact is on postmenopausal women. During the first 5 to 10 years after menopause, women can suffer up to 2 to 4% loss of bone density per year. This can result in the loss of up to 25 to 30% of their bone density during that time period.
Well, let me make something clear here. Many people assume that osteoporosis is a natural part of aging, but it absolutely doesn't have to be. Osteoporosis is a preventable disease, but that prevention has to start early, preferably in your teens to early 20s, because your bone density doesn't actually reach its peak until about age 25 to 30.
And preventive measures include getting lots of physical activity during the preteen and teen years. Exercise helps increase bone mass and can greatly reduce the risk of osteoporosis in adulthood. It also means eating a diet adequate in calcium and vitamin D, which can be difficult. That's why most experts recommend daily supplementation with both calcium and vitamin D.
This is excellent advice. So let's recap, folks. The top five health concerns for today's women are heart disease, cancer, weight management and diabetes, depression, and osteoporosis. Thank you, Dr. McManus and Pam, for bringing us up to date with recent research on these five health issues, and especially for sharing the many proactive lifestyle changes we can make right now to help us live healthy, vibrant lives.